If you don't have a copy of the proposal that I gave out last week about changing some stuff on the website, make sure you get with me. Mrs. Christie, she was so nice to print a bunch of them out for me. She just takes care of so much stuff. Brother Andy, you really ought to get off her a little bit. No, if you need a copy of that, please get with me at some point in time today. I will give you a copy of that. I want you to read it. I hope that you read it some this week. And we're going to vote on that next week to make those changes. So if you can do that, I would appreciate it. How many of you looked at the thought audit this week? Anybody look at it this week? One? Shame? Two? Okay, shame on the rest of you then, right? No, I hope that you did kind of look through that a little bit because it's pretty neat stuff. It will help you as far as the way that you view things in your day-to-day life. If you need a copy of that, I've also got copies of those, so if you'd like to have a copy of that, you can go back and listen to it online and go through all that. But the whole change in your mind, getting your mind right, with that thought audit, it's really good to be able to actually write out stuff. Sometimes we think that that kind of stuff's not important, but it is very important to actually write out what you think. I've found that in different counseling sessions and things like that. If you'll make people write stuff down like the thought audit where you sit back and you break down something like, are my thoughts tearing me down? And you have to write an answer to that. It'll really open up some things in your mind because it'll actually sit there and make you go, hey, this is what I actually think day to day. And it's not to make you feel bad. It's for you to understand what you actually think about on a day-to-day basis. Like, that's what you want to do. You want to actually see what is going on in your mind. You want to be able to change the negative thoughts and make them more positive. And the only way that truly you'll ever make anything positive is to put God first. We know that, right? You got to put God first in everything that you do. But if you want to see where you're at, a good way to do that is to write some of your thoughts down and be able to kind of decipher through some of those things. This morning we're going to start talking a little bit about becoming a thought warrior. Becoming a thought warrior. Paul wrote many of his teachings in prison. And though his body was behind bars, Paul's mind was free. But how was that possible? He had taken his thoughts captive long before he entered a jail cell. He knew two truths that we also need to know. One is, the battle for your life is won or lost in your mind. And two, your thoughts will control you, so you have to control your thoughts. Those are two specific things that you really need to get a grasp on if you really want to control what's going on in your mind. Because the devil's going to come at you with a lot of different things, and he's going to tell you that you're not really worth it. He's going to tell you you're worthless. He's going to make you feel so bad about yourself that you can't keep going forward, when in reality, that's what you're supposed to do, is just keep moving forward. Don't let the devil creep in your mind and change what is reality. Because that's what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to get in your mind and start telling you things like, oh, you can't do this anymore because of your situation. No, that's not the case. You may be in a bad situation, but guess what? God's still God. And God's still got a plan for your life. It doesn't matter the situation that you're in. God's still God. He still cares for you. He still has a plan for you in your life, and He can help you, but you have to allow Him to be able to work in your life on a daily basis. It's not something that just happens once. It's something that has to happen every single solitary day. Paul said he died daily to the flesh, right? That was something that happened daily to Paul. And when you look at Paul and you sit back and you think about him writing things in prison, can you imagine him sitting in a jail cell? And they're not like jails today. We've talked about that before. They were different. They were a lot harder. You're talking about a cold, damp, dark place. A place that would have been just an awful situation to be in. This is not somewhere where you get to watch TV and get to work out and get all buff and get an education. That's what jail is today. It's different. They're trying to change people and help them. But back in those days, it was a place of torture. It was a place to actually show you, hey, you're doing something wrong or something we don't like. Paul found himself there many, many times. And Paul could have gotten to the point in his life where he said, you know what? I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this anymore. I truly believe that if some of us were caught in that position where we actually got arrested and put in jail for something we believed, we would probably tend to sit back and go, man, God, you sure this is all right? You sure this is worth it? You start questioning some stuff, wouldn't you? I mean, I know you want to be big, bad, and buff and act like you're not, but I'm telling you right now, you'd question some things. You would. And it would get hard and it would get tough because you'd be sitting there going, hey, I don't know why I'm in this position. I don't understand. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And Paul was preaching the gospel most of the time when he got put in jail. Can you imagine just preaching the gospel and getting put in jail? I believe there's coming a day they could walk through the door and just say, hey, you got to go. Then what are you going to do? How many of you would go with me? Probably some of you. I mean, I'd appreciate it. I'd like to not be alone. But truthfully, I mean, you think about it within yourself, because I thought about it this week. How many of you actually would go if that's what it came down to? Would you stand for what you believe in? Paul did. But Paul could sit there and write these letters and write all this stuff out, and we have the gospel, we have all these things, and a lot of these things were written in prison. Think about his mindset. He had to have conquered this a long time ago. You see, I think he thought about those Damascus Road experience that he had and realized what the truth was and realized how good God was, saved his soul from a burning hell, and said, you know what? It's all right if I got to go through some turmoil for it. I'll just write the letters anyways, God. You just keep laying it on my heart and I'll keep writing it down. You want me to keep writing the gospel out? I'll keep writing the gospel out. You want me to keep encouraging people? I'll keep doing that. You imagine him writing stuff to Timothy and telling him to charge, keep the faith, and being able to keep preaching the word and do all these things. But yet, Timothy may have been looking at Paul saying, hey, but you get put in jail all the time. You think this is worth that? If I was Timothy, that may be what I thought. I'm just being real with you. I mean, if I'm Timothy and Paul says, hey, just keep preaching the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Do all these things. Just keep preaching the word no matter what. There's coming a day they won't endure sound doctrine. Don't worry about it. Preach it anyways. Just keep on going. If I'm Timothy, I'm sitting there saying, hey, Paul, have you lost your mind, man? Just chill out, Paul. Maybe it's not all that. But no, Timothy was kind of like Paul. He just said, all right, I'll pick it up wherever you left it off, Paul, and I'll just keep on going. I'll just keep on moving forward. I'll just keep on preaching the Word of God. We have to realize these two truths. The battle for your life is won or lost in your mind, and your thoughts will control you, so you have to control your thoughts. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 and verse 15. These are some familiar scriptures. And I love reading these scriptures because you're talking about a tongue twister. Boy, he wrote one right here. Romans 7 and verse 15. The Bible says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It doesn't sound like Paul has control of his mind right here in Romans chapter 7, does it? I mean, come on, get real. You've read it before, right? And it's a tongue twister. I mean, it gets you. You're sitting there going back and forth, and you're seeing Paul. He's almost going back and forth with it. He's saying, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I should do, I don't do them. And he's playing with this thing about this law of God and the law of sin. Have you looked at that ever before? Yeah, this isn't a salvation thing, okay? He's already saved, okay? Don't make this a salvation thing. This ain't something about keeping the law. This is the law of God and the law of sin. This is doing right versus doing wrong, okay? Don't get confused when it starts talking about law. Paul's already saved at this point in time, but he's battling within himself saying, hey, I want to do good, but for some reason, I don't always do it. I don't always do it. I have good intentions, but sometimes it don't work out the way that I want it to. Sometimes I get discouraged. Amen? Sometimes stuff comes up in my life and it starts to give me anxiety. How many people deal with anxiety like that? Oh, I'm the only one. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are so spiritual. Good night. If I could just be like my church, it'd be incredible. Some of y'all should be the pastor. No, I sit back. I deal with some anxiety because I deal with this stuff every single day where you get up and you go, am I really good enough? Am I truthfully good enough? And it isn't a salvation thing because I've already got that settled. I got that settled when I was 9 years old, okay? When I was 9 years old, I got saved. I know my salvation is settled. I know what I have to look forward to, but I'm just talking about my Christian life. Sometimes I get up and realize, man, I am not good enough. Why would God even waste His time? I don't deserve to be able to be a preacher. And God, you know, He don't even need me. You ever thought about that? God doesn't need you. He allows you to do it. He allows you to do it. If He wanted to, this right here could be a better preacher than me. Amen. He could let the rocks do it if He wanted to. But He allows it to be me. He allows it to be each one of you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. And Paul's dealing with this thing, and you sit back and you watch him go back and forth, and constantly through Romans, through Philemon, you can see times where Paul is struggling with stuff. You see, that's why I like Paul so much, because he's just like us. He's just a real person. He has no problem telling you when he has a fault. Amen. You see, we try to hide everything, don't we? Uh-huh. Let's open that can of worms real quick. Try to hide everything. Everything's going good in your life, right? And when you come to church, you put on a good smile and you put on your good clothes and everything's just perfect. When in reality, everything in your life could be falling apart. You got a wife at home. And she's hurting. That affects you. That affects you. It has to. It would affect me. You deal with things at your job that aggravate you to no end and you're ready to quit. And it affects you. It'll affect you at home. Amen. We're moving next week. We're moving my shop next week. You think I am not stressed out? I am stressed out to the limit. I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. I got to get done next week. I have to get all of our production shut down by Friday. We have to move all weekend. And I still have to be here and preach on Sunday. And at some point in time, I got to figure out what I'm going to preach in all of that circle of stuff. You think I'm not stressed out just a little? Yeah. Stressed out. You know, those things really don't matter, though. We see what you should do is turn them over to God, right? You should turn the situation over to God, right? That's difficult sometimes, though. And because we hide them from everybody else, if you really want to get truthful, you try to hide them from God, too. You can't hide your problems from Him. He knows your every thought. You can try to hide them from everybody in the world, and that's fine. But you ain't going to hide them from God. You can try to cover up everything you want to, but God's right there. And God's saying, hey, why don't you let me help you? I can change some things if you'll just let me help you. If you'll just give me a chance. But we already have the answers, right? Why? Because our mind has been defeated already. Devil's done got in that head and said, you know what? This is just the way that it is. And you believe the lie. Every single solitary time, you believe the lie. When in reality, you have to learn how to conquer that. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Philippians 4 and verse 12. Philippians 4 and verse 12. Bible says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Sounds like he got his thoughts back together. Sounds a little different from Romans, don't it? Sounds like maybe he was struggling over in Romans chapter 7, but in Philippians chapter 4, boy, he seems like he's kind of got it back together a little bit. He's saying he knows how to abound, and he knows how to handle all this stress, and he knows how to be hungry, and he knows how to want, but yet he knows how to just let God take control of things in his life. He knows how to let God just be God instead of trying to control the situation. If we would ever get to the place where we would quit trying to control all the situations, we'd be a whole lot better Christians. It's easy to get up and preach, or it's easy to get up and teach, or it's easy to get up and tell somebody that you meet that, man, you just got to turn it over to God. Just let Him have it. It's easy to say that. It's different to live it. It's different to live it. I don't know what you deal with on a day-to-day basis. I know a little bit of stuff, but I don't know what you deal with really truthfully. You don't know what I go through every single day. You don't know the struggles that I have. You don't know the things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. We all have dark places that we seem to go into sometimes. And they hurt. And a lot of times, instead of going to the Word of God and saying, hey, you said you'd help me, so help me, you take the Word of God and you just put it aside. And you don't allow it to help you. How many of you have been there? I have. You know, I'm trying to still control the situation. You can't fix everything. You have to let God be in control of your life at some point in time. Paul understood this probably better than most people do. Why? Because he understood you can be in a dark place, but God's still God. You can be in a jail cell and it can look really bad, but we can praise Him anyway. You sit there and you talk about Paul, and sometimes we just only think about the fact that he was in prison. And yes, he was in prison quite often, but there was a lot of other things he dealt with too. You think about Paul and all the preaching that he did. Can you imagine when he says the weight of all the churches? Man, I got one. I can't imagine having all of them. It'd be a little tough. Yet he was taking the weight of all that. He's sitting there telling these people, hey, I have this pressure on me constantly. But yet God's still good. Why? Because he always put God first. He always put God first. We have a tendency to want to control the situation, fix the situation, and when it all falls apart, then we run to God. Yeah. You know, you run, you fix, you try, and then you go to God. God, put it all back together, please. Stop it before it gets really, really, really bad. No, it's already really, really, really bad. You didn't stop it soon enough. You didn't go to him when you should have went to him. So now guess what? You reap what you sow. That's hard to digest. I know, I've been there. That's the stuff that's tough to understand. You go so far in your life and then all of a sudden you realize, I'm going to have some consequences for this one. Why? Because I could have came and got it fixed, but I didn't. I could have put my face in that book every single solitary day and got on my knees before God and prayed and said, hey, help me come through this situation. Help me fix this situation. Help me understand this situation. But yet you didn't do that. You waited and waited and waited until the situation got to where it was unfixable. And then you ran to him. Then you said, hey, God, you said you'd never leave me and never forsake me. Guess what? He didn't. You forsook him. You forsook him, and it wasn't him that forsook you. You were the one that put him aside. And it's all about God. This is all about God. You have to have a renewing of your mind. So how do we win the battle in our mind? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is that my timer? I'm already up. Ooh. Make sure that's right. I thought somebody was telling me to hurry up already. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Paul tells us we don't wage war as the world does. The problem is, many of us don't wage war at all. If you want to fix a problem, do you realize you have to engage? If you ever truly want to fix a problem that's going on in your life, you have to engage it. You can't keep putting it off. You can't keep putting it to the side. You have to engage. How many of you remember World War II? Studied about it? Yeah. Some of y'all look like y'all didn't go to school. All right then. If Brother Tim was here, I'd got him to tell a story about it, but he's not here. He gets picked on when he ain't even here. That's the reason why I don't get paid on time. And for those of you who know, laugh about that. Me and Thomas had a really good plan. I was going to get y'all to call him today and ask him where the preacher was. I decided that probably not be a good idea, but it would be funny. It would be funny. Some of y'all don't know the story. Come talk to me about it later. I'll tell y'all about it. World War II. You learned about it in school. It says, we spent the first years maintaining a neutral position. We believe that because the war was over there, it wasn't impacting our lives, right? It's a good thing to do, right? Don't engage it. It's over there. Let them fight it. We still have that kind of philosophy, don't we? I'm going to let go of politics, okay? eventually it became clear that Hitler and the Axis powers would not stop, and the freedom of the entire world was hanging in the balance. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, that was the final straw. Ain't that amazing? That's what it took. It had to get that bad, right? Had to get that bad. We entered the war on D-Day. We joined with other Allied forces as 150,000 troops stormed the beaches of Normandy. The Germans had set out about 4 million landmines to protect the beach from such an invasion. They also rained down gunfire on our men. The sacrifices that day were enormous. Thousands of lives lost. But the engagement was necessary. It was necessary. It had to happen, right? I'm thankful for military. Amen? Brother Randy was in the military. Anybody else in the military? Raise your hand. You in the military? You in the military? Josh is in the military. Is he still active? Till March. He's getting ready to retire. No, he's still active at this point in time. I appreciate all of our military. Anybody that's ever been in the military. I never personally went into the military. I thought about it. I kind of wish I would have now. Amen. But I didn't. But I appreciate all the men that actually have gone in the military. Whether you actually fought or not, doesn't make any difference. You were ready to. Amen? Some people get in their mind that it's not that important if you don't go to war. I'm here to tell you right now, it don't matter if you go to war or not. You was ready. That was what you signed up for. On D-Day, there's a bunch of young men that went over there and got killed. Bunch of them. And you've heard the stories, you've watched the movies, and I bet they can't even compare to what they really saw. But they gave their life for our country because they didn't want our freedoms to go away. They didn't want our freedoms to be changed. They wanted us to be able to worship freely like we chose to. I'm thankful for that. But you see, if they had never engaged, we might be looking at a different world. Have you ever thought about that? What if they'd have sat back and said, you know what? It's just over there. Let's just leave it alone. What if they'd have let them come over here and bomb Pearl Harbor and we'd have never retaliated? Because we have to have peace. Think about how things would be different now. Have you ever truly thought about all that stuff? You see, I told you, I think differently sometimes. I sit back and think about the what ifs. I'm glad it didn't work out that way, but what if it had happened? We might not be able to sit in a church like this. This may look totally different for all of us. Some of us younger ones, we may not even know what we know right now. Amen? We wouldn't have grown up in church like that. Some of you older ones would have been the ones that actually would have been younger at this moment in time. You would have been the kids that grew up when this happened. I'm thankful for somebody that would engage in the problem. I hope our lights are not going to go out. That's going to be fun. It's all right, I preached in the dark before. It's fine. Preached with a flashlight one time. That was cool. I think it was just because they didn't want to pay the power bill, but I hope Brother Tim didn't forget that either. That's two. I hate he's not here to hear all this. I'm thankful that somebody was willing to engage in the battle. To win the battle in our minds, we must engage because there is no other way to defeat evil. The days of being neutral must come to an end. If you really want to win this war, because it is a war, it's a daily war with your mind. If you want to win it, you have to engage it. You know, we fight differently, and we fight against something that's more powerful than even something like D-Day. He's fighting a spiritual warfare. You can't fight that spiritual warfare alone. You got to have God. It's the only way you're ever going to come through it. Sometimes I sit back and think maybe God's sitting there waiting for you to just engage in the problem. See if you're just going to be complacent and sit back and just sit there and say, it's over there, God, it's fine. You see, over there will get over here real quick if you're not careful. You see, we didn't engage, so the Japanese did what? They'll take the fight to you. You see, it's different when they start blowing up stuff on your home turf. You didn't care about it when it was over there. When they was killing everybody over there, it didn't concern you. But the problem is when they came over here and they bombed everything we had, then it changed everything. It works the same way in your life. When the problem's over there, it doesn't seem that bad. It doesn't seem that important. When it's back there, it's like, hey, I kind of see there's an issue, but whatever. It's fine, God. No sense in stirring any trouble up. Just leave it alone. Just let it be. It's over there. Then all of a sudden, guess what? It's right here in front of you. And you've done nothing about it. Then you're almost forced to engage, right? And usually when you're forced to engage, you're not as prepared. You see, that's the problem. If you engage sooner, you kind of get a jump on it, right? The problem won't be as big over there. The problem wouldn't have been nearly as big way over there as it became over here. Now, how many of you have dealt with that in your life? That's a Sunday school class. How many of you, if you're willing to talk, some of y'all look like y'all scared to death to open your mouth. If you're willing, how many of you have ever experienced anything like this where you're battling a war constantly? How many of you have dealt with that in your life and would be willing to maybe give us a little testimony about something? You don't have to, but just curious. Sometimes it's good to get a different perspective. Anybody? Exactly right. That's a tough situation. But you use the Word of God and it tells you what you're supposed to do with that situation, doesn't it? You sit there and think about it, what he just said. I mean, honor thy father and mother. He honored him when he didn't really have to. Woo-hoo! That's good, ain't it? That'll teach you something right there. Humility, humbleness, forgiveness. God forgave you when you didn't deserve it. You willing to forgive somebody when maybe they don't technically deserve it? That's good right there. Anxiety, boy, you can have some anxiety in those moments like that, can't you? Anybody else got a testimony like that or something similar or something different? Losing a husband. I can imagine that is tough. God comforts us. He's always right there. But in a situation of losing a loved one at a young age, and I know you've been through that, somebody that maybe you expected more time with, and it doesn't matter whether it's younger or whether it's older, okay? it hurts. Losing loved ones hurts. But the good thing is God always comforts you. But you can't let your mind go to a bad place, because it can. Something like that thought audit, that's what this kind of stuff does. When you write those things out, you sit back and you can sit there and go, what am I thinking in this situation? You know, I've done that over some years now. It's not just been one time I did it. I did it in some very low points in my life, and I wrote some stuff down. I went to a counselor. How many of you have been to a counselor? So me and you, that's right. Counselors are not bad, okay? Oh, I know we try to be, you know, Counselors are not all bad. I went to a counselor. And I sat down with him, and I did some different counseling stuff for some situations that I was going through. And I remember sitting there and him telling me, hey, if you'll write down your thoughts, it'll help you. And I was like, man, that's probably a good idea. And I remember writing down my thoughts. So I'd be in a situation, I'd just write them down. Are you angry? Are you mad? Are you upset? Are you anxious? Are you this? Are you that? And I wrote all that stuff down. And man, I got to thinking about how much it's changed over the years. So now I can go back and I can look at those things, and I can be in the same type of situation, maybe a little different, how I handle them differently now than I did then. Because you see, I may not have been close to God over there, but now I'm closer. So you see, now I've gotten the position where I sit back and go, I actually try to put God first in the bad situation instead of like I was over here when I said, hey, I'm going to try to fix it myself. Now what I realize is when I write those answers down, they differ from what they used to. You see, that's where you got to get to that point where your mind is still on the things of God, even when the bad things come your way. When you lose the loved one, it's okay to grieve over the loved one. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what God allows you to do. But guess what? God's still God. God was in control the whole entire time. He knew what needed to happen for you and for everybody else involved. He knew it. You may not have seen it. You may not have even seen it yet. That's hard to really grasp. You may not understand it right now. It may have been years ago and you still don't understand it. But guess what? One day you're going to stand before an almighty God and He's going to tell you exactly the reason why. And man, that's going to be a good day. And to sit back and go, you know what, God? I did not understand it. And it really hurt. But I just always put you first. I just always put you first anyways. It hurt, God, but I just kept reading that Bible. And I kept praying that you'd be there for me. And I kept knowing that you would take care of the situation. And you said you'd be my comforter. Man, to stand before God one day and be able to say those things, that's going to make a lot of that real, real good. It's going to make things so much better. When you don't have so much hate in your heart towards every situation, right? God knows what He's doing. I know sometimes we act like He don't, but He does know exactly what He's doing. that's good. Still. Sometimes it looks like everything's falling apart, don't it? You don't. But what do you have to do? You have to keep putting God first, right? And if you do, the outcome's always better, right? You know, here's the thing. If you had lost it, it had still been better. It has still been better. That's right. Exactly. We come into this world dying, right? That's a sinful world we live in. But you got to put God first. When you do, the dying part don't seem to be that big of a deal anymore. That gives you something to look forward to. As a 9-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And guess what? I've had something to look forward to since that day. Since that very day, I've had something to look forward to. That's what Paul talks about after he had his Damascus Road experience and he's gone through all these situations and he's accepted Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And he's sitting there saying, you know what? I'm going to preach this gospel. And I'm not going to go much too far than that. I'll be in my sermon this morning. Y'all done took me right up into it. Ain't that amazing how God works? I heard Wednesday night was a lot like my sermon Sunday, so. God has a way of working things out, doesn't He? You got to put God first. Every day. Every single solitary day. Get in the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Pray. Do it every single day. And I'm here to tell you right now, you cannot go wrong if you'll do that. You have to engage sometimes. If the war looks like it's over there and it looks like it's kind of contained, you might be better off to just go on and say, you know what? I'm going to stop it before it becomes a real big, bad problem. I'm going to go ahead and stop it now. Don't be afraid to engage in the war. Next week, we're going to kind of talk about some tools about what we can use to engage in the war. We'll look at some different things next week about that. All right, let's close in a word of prayer before we go into our Sunday morning service. Thomas, close us out, please.